What's up, OU fans? Your host, Noah Ifrigan here, and we are back for another episode of Season 2 of the pod. As always, thank you for tuning in. I could not be more excited to be sharing today my interview with Laura Adams. Laura is the Managing Director of Morgan Stanley Wealth Management in Canada. She studied business and finance at University of Georgia, where she won an SEC championship as a swimmer, including being named an NCAA All-American Swimmer and Woman of the Year. That's a high achievement right there. I am so excited to have her on the pod, not only because she's awesome, but also because she has one of the most rich and impressive routines of anyone that I know. She follows Robin Sharma's 5 a.m. club with practices for physical longevity, meditation, and learning so that she can be sharp, present, and intentional for everyday success. From my conversations with her in the past, I was certain we needed to get this out there for the benefit of our listeners. And so let's do it. Episode 8 of Opportunity Unlocked Season 2 starts now. Laura, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Noah.
So I'm super excited to dive into some of your routines and practices as we've discussed. Ever since we've chatted about them, I immediately knew we needed to get this out on the podcast. People need to hear this. A little bit of background here. You're a former NCAA athlete, or former NCAA swimmer, a current athlete, successful businesswoman. So maximizing productivity, both physical and mental, has always been a part of your life. And so today we're going to dig into how you do it. Sound good?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hopefully, awesome. Hopefully I'll have some good insights to share.
I would never doubt that. So first I wanted to start with the 5 a.m. club. You're a dedicated follower of this routine by author Robin Sharma. So quickly for our audience, before we get into your take about it, what is the 5 a.m. club and why have you become so committed?
Yeah, so I learned about the 5 a.m. club. Number one, it's a book, and I do recommend people, read it if they're intrigued by some of the stuff we talk about today. I learned about it from, I'm in an organization called the Young Presidents Organization and was working with my forum, which is a group of us all who are senior executives, CEOs of different businesses and different industries. And this is sort of back in the, I would say, the fall of COVID, when it was dark out. It was like getting worse and worse. It didn't look like anything was gonna get better anytime soon. And I just found myself really, really dragging. And what I mean by that is I wasn't excited to get up in the morning. I wasn't excited to, hit the 12 different Zoom conference calls that I was going to do from my, my desk in my master bedroom. And I needed a bit of a reboot in terms of energy. I really thrive off of energy, meeting people and talking to people and learning and just having those interactions. And as a result, I'm in a client oriented business, and I just wasn't able to get that same sort of energy, from these virtual meetings. And so my forum mate had mentioned this was something he had been doing for the better part of a year. So what is the 5 a.m. club? The 5 a.m. club is really an intentional practice. The premise is I wake up at 5 a.m. I spend 20 minutes doing some sort of physical activity. Your choice. I happen to choose yoga. So I do yoga every morning for 20 minutes, different forms. It could be a super intense power yoga. It could be a restorative yoga. It all depends on what I've been doing in my life. But every morning, that is how I start my morning. Then I switch gears and I go into a 20 minutes of meditation. And again, this could be a guided meditation. It could be a breathing meditation. I like to mix things up, keep it dynamic. So I do my meditation. And then the final 20 minutes of the hour-long practice is about learning. And so this is where I will either read different abstracts of books. I may listen to a podcast. I may do a masterclass. It could be a, you know, a summary of a book, but I endeavor every day to learn something in that last 20 minutes. And sort of the premise here is, by the time you get to the learning segment of the practice, your brain and your body are primed. You've gone through and sort of set your body up and your brain to be as open and primed for learning. And so what you find is when you do listen to that final 20 minutes or you read something, it's actually, you're really able to focus. And also I would say part of the practice, why you do it so early in the morning, is just so you're not interrupted. There are no emails, there's no texts. In my case, there's no children who are interrupting that sort of practice. So it's a real commitment to being intentional and mindful for yourself and to really get ready and primed for the day. And I would say that is a quick summary of what I do every morning. I would say on the weekends, it's not 5 a.m. club. It's probably 7 a.m. club. So I do sleep
in. Not bad though. Still not bad.
Not bad. I do sleep in a little bit, but I do this daily practice even on the weekends. And yeah, it's really just, it's an intentional practice. So I am sort of primed to be the best that I can be every single day.
Mm-hmm. And you've said that to me before. It's all about being intentional, open-hearted, and present. So that statement in the context of the 5 a.m. club, why is it, you know, how do they relate to one another?
Well, I think intentionality is really based on everyone's personal goals. For me, you know, being open-hearted and open-minded and present is my personal goal of how I want to approach every day in terms of how I deal with people, how I deal with problems, how I deal with, you know, client situations. I just want to be really open. I want to understand what people are trying to achieve. And if I approach it from an open-mindedness, almost like a beginner's mind, if you're familiar with that, practice, it's really just, that's where I find you're able to come up with the most creative solutions. You're also listening to the whole person, and understanding, you know, really how you can be in service to them. I have a team. I like to understand what drives them, what motivates them. If I'm open-minded and listening to them really carefully, I can often respond in a way that I think is actually serving them in a better way and helping them sort of be the best that they can be. And then finally, just being present. I mean, there are so many distractions. I mean, I work in the markets and I am a junkie for, you know, every little tick on Bloomberg and every little news piece. And I love that. I love consuming all that information. But I can tell you it is highly, highly distracting. And it's very easy not to be really listening to people and listening to you know, the challenges that clients are facing or your team members. And I just think it's really, really critical for me. I am committed to being present and showing up to be the best I can be every day, whether that's as a mom, as a wife, as an employee, as a team lead. I want to be the best that I can be. And those underlying principles are critical to that commitment.
Mm-hmm. And so I'd imagine on the mornings where you, for whatever reason, weren't able to do this practice, how much does that affect you during the day?
I mean, I've been doing it so consistently since, really since the fall, that now it's so interesting. Like when you practice something consistently, it's really in the fiber of your body. Like for me, the yoga really helps me with mobility. The meditation, I mean, if you read about meditation, I mean, it really does actually change the physiology of your brain and how it works. And so that consistency of practice, I feel like I really am able to leverage it, you know, even if I've missed a morning. But I will be totally honest, I am a very disciplined person. So I have not, you know, if I've missed one morning and it was basically after a surgery, and I was able to get right back at it sort of later in the day. So it is just, it's not something I'm prepared to miss. I really feel committed to this, and I feel like it really helps me be the person I want to be in my life.
Gotcha. Okay. I want to break it down with you a little bit now. So let's start with those first 20 minutes when you're doing yoga. You've shared, I mean, as I mentioned before, you were a swimmer. Currently, yeah. you are still an athlete. You run quite a bit now. So yoga, in terms of injury prevention, how have you found that to be important?
Yeah. So yoga for me is really about mobility and stretching and, but also strength and breathing, right? Like I am an athlete. I have, you know, after I do this hour of practice, you know, often that, then I go into my workout and I'll actually work out for an hour after this. So, you know, being able to, instead of going for a run super cold in the morning, you know, I've already warmed up my body. I've like sort of primed, I've stretched my calves. I'm ready to go. And again, just very present within my body physically. I think that, you know, that definitely helps prevent me from, you know, tearing my calf muscle like I have in the past when I haven't necessarily taken the time to warm up. So, all these things, you know, it's all linked. I mean, it's interesting. I chose yoga as my 20 minute, you know, sort of daily practice, just because it's something I've never done on a daily basis. I've been a swimmer. I've spent, you know, 4 to 6 hours in the pool a day in my past. I've been a big runner for years. I'm, you know, big rower. I spin, you know, I do lots of different exercises. I kind of chose yoga because it was actually something I just had never done. It was a bit of a challenge, and I like to try new things. And it's been really, really rewarding from just a mobility standpoint. And, again, I'm a firm believer in it, that stretching and sort of daily practice is definitely helping on the injury front.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, when you're younger, you just kind of go out there, you don't necessarily stretch as much as you think you should. And that long-term physical fitness really suffers in the end. And it's ultimately an upfront investment that we forget about because we still, you know, have that sort of agility that we take for granted.
Yeah. I think also recovery is a big thing. Like as you, you know, as you get a little bit older, you got to really make sure that you're doing things that recover your muscles and recover your joints and restorative. And you just got to spend more time on stuff like that. I mean, 100% in my 20s, I wasn't, you know, I just get my shoes on and go for a 10-15K run, no problem, without even warming up or warming down. And that's just, I assure you in your 40s, that is not the case. And I mean, you hear it also with the weekend warriors. I mean, people just get like CrossFit, they go, you know, they go crazy and they get all injured. And I just think, you know, this is, for me, this is a commitment to try to avoid that situation going forward, because I really, really need exercise. I find it, for me, training in all these different forms is a stress reliever, and it helps me manage my sort of work-life balance, that commitment to physical fitness and just being healthy. It helps me sleep at night, which is critical to recovering and being able to do it all over the next day with the same level of enthusiasm and energy. And, so yeah, it's all linked for sure. You gotta recover. And that definitely becomes more relevant as you put in decades and decades of training.
Yeah. I think, you know, too often do people separate the physical and the mental.
Yeah.
In terms of practice, but they're completely interconnected. And I can totally relate to that as well. I'm just not myself when I don't get my physicals right.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I think it's, you know, there's such huge bodies of work around this that, you know, your body is connected with your brain. And if you are, you know, if you're approaching your life holistically, you're going to just get better outcomes. Across the board. So it is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And a bit of a question that I'm personally invested here. How have you made sure that your knees have been fine as you have ran over the years? Because I'm genuinely worried about that for my future.
Yeah, that's interesting. So one thing I do, which is maybe a little bit different, I don't know, it just is what I enjoy doing, is I like to mix things up. So even when I was a swimmer, you know, we all have, when you're a swimmer, you all have your best event. or breaststroke. And anyhow, back in the day when I was training, I mean, you just did so much freestyle. You did so much mileage in the pool. And my favorite thing was always the IM. I wanted to do all four strokes. I wanted to mix it up. I just felt like that was a better fit. Like I liked switching different muscle groups.
IM is like a combination of all the different four strokes. Okay. Yeah.
It's called the individual medley. It starts with butterfly, then goes to backstroke, then to breaststroke, then to freestyle. So you get to do all four strokes in one event, which is, super fun. And, so I have approached my training that way. So as much as I'm a big runner, you know, I would say I've been running sort of three times a week, not every day. I didn't, you know, I wasn't doing 15K every single day. I wasn't doing CrossFit every day. I wasn't doing rowing every day. Like I like to mix it up. So it's more about that, you know, sort of making sure there's dynamic exercising, making sure you're using different muscle groups, that you're resting. If I've had a big run, you know, maybe I want to rest, my body for, you know, for the next day. So I do a low impact, you know, spin instead, or maybe I go for a swim or a stand up paddle. I've always been really geared to switching muscle groups and making sure you're recovering after you've done a really intense training session. And you learn that, you know, obviously as an athlete, you learn a whole training regime and recovery is part of it. Which is really critical life skill when you are, you know, when you are really hustling, whether it be at work or in your personal life, like you do need to be mindful to let your body, to let your mind, to let your spirit recover, so you can continue to perform at a, you know, at a super intense level.
Mm-hmm. And we hope we will all only learn that the easy way, not the hard way, at a certain point getting injured for not investing enough in our recovery time. Yeah. So important advice.
We all get injured. I mean, it is a part of life, but yeah, you want to minimize that because, you know, it's at least for me, it's a really important part of my daily practice. So if I'm injured and I can't exercise and sort of do these things, I find it really deteriorates my quality of life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So let's move on to your meditation practice now. Okay. I'd love to hear about, so how do you approach this? Let's start out from the side of, you know, it's what is the goal in your meditation practice?
So for me, originally meditation, I actually worked with a meditation teacher when I was pregnant with my second child.
Okay.
My second daughter is a force to be reckoned with. So I kind of laugh. I feel like I knew what was coming for me. And I felt like I needed some guidance in terms of mindfulness and breathing techniques and so forth. So I say that in jest. She's awesome. And but it was a really important skill that I learned. And I would also say it was a little bit in reaction to working in the markets for as long as I've worked. Because again, the markets are very, very, you know, you're really focused on either, you know, very snippets of information, it's a highly dynamic. So you're constantly consuming. And so I really found that I actually had a moment where I was like, I'm actually finding like it really hard to put down the phone and not, you know, not want to read five different sources of information at the same time, just really just dive into one thing and go deep. So that's the original reason why I wanted to learn about meditation. And then what I would say is it's evolved. So that initial practice was mindfulness. So being able to acknowledge when a thought comes up, or a sound or a distracting item, and being able to acknowledge it and not go crazy with it, being able to let it go and stay on course with what you're dealing with. And this could be super handy as you're performing. If you are, you know, on stage or doing presentations or whatnot, I mean, we all get distracted or we get physiological responses in terms of being nervous and whatnot. And these practices can really, really help be helpful in terms of staying focused on what you're doing, staying calm, being able to leverage your breathing techniques so you can sort of bring you know, your most insightful and full self to that moment. So that was really, really the intention around meditation. I have subsequently, I've done all sorts of different types, and maybe this is actually might be helpful for people. I actually do all of this for both the yoga and the meditation. I use the Peloton app to do it every day. I don't know if that's helpful for people to know like how you do it. There's all sorts of different apps. I've used the Calm app for years. They have like a daily 10-minute meditation that you can just click and follow. So it all depends on, you know, how serious you want to get into some of these practices. But for me, that really is easy just to have the app available and you can follow an instructor or you can follow someone's voice and do different practices. And that way you also get to learn different techniques, whether it be breathing meditation, whether it be a gratitude meditation or patience, which I tend to practice a lot. There's lots of different options. So that's sort of how I approach it. And I, again, I just think it is invaluable in terms of my, my approach to life.
And so ultimately you gravitated towards the Peloton app. Why is that, your choice in the end?
I mean, I've been using the Peloton app, like even pre-COVID before everyone else kind of figured it out. And
you're a trendsetter.
I don't know. They were offering it for free. So I did. I was like one of those people that was like, I'll do this for 2 weeks for free. No problem. And I just liked that they had all different classes. They had boot camp. They had outdoor running classes. They had yoga. They had meditation. And so really it's kind of exactly what I like in terms of how I like to train and a menu of different instructors. And obviously it's just gotten so much better. I used the app before we ever bought a bike or a treadmill. So just for what it's worth, you don't need to buy the hardware. I mean, we have both now and I love both. So I'm not knocking either of those.
Yeah. You're hooked.
I am hooked, but I do like the app. Like that was always, for me, it was always about the app. Actually, it was like being able to put it on my phone. And if I was doing business travel, I could do a quick boot camp in my hotel room in the morning without, you know, having to go and find a gym or whatnot. So it just worked. It made my life easier.
Gotcha. And so to tie it back, you spoke about the meditation instructor that you worked with. What, you know, insights from that experience did you have in terms of working with a professional? You know, like how did they help you ultimately become successful in your meditation?
I mean, the big thing is they teach you the practice, number one, and then you actually practice with them. So like anything, it's all about, you know, putting in reps, right? So being able to practice with somebody who can help you understand the philosophy behind it, why you're doing certain things. And really, you know, one of the big areas within mindfulness is to negate something called monkey mind. And the monkey mind is like where you've got different thoughts racing through your brain. This often, if anyone, you know, has trouble sleeping at 3 a.m. in the morning, like I do, you know, at 3 a.m., I literally can go through everything on the planet and it will like be in my brain. You know, it spans from like climate issues to my kids' education to work stress. Like I've got it all going on. And so meditation is a very effective way of acknowledging what's happening. Number one, acknowledging all those thoughts and learning a technique to not engage with them. And, you know, the good news is you do some breathing techniques, you relax your body physiologically, and guess what? You fall back asleep and that's great. You know? So for me, that was a big driver and in a big way that I definitely use it. But just being able to control your mental state is a huge, huge advantage in life. We all have, you know, that inner voice, that inner feedback loop, and being able to understand and acknowledge it when it's helpful, when it's not helpful, and being able to harness that skill is really, really powerful. And I just can't recommend it enough. It's been life, transformational for me.
Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, it excites me that you've had so much success with it as an example for many people, our age, my generation, who also could benefit from it. And so to those people who have tried it, but haven't found success, you know, what do you say to that? What are your tips to them?
Stay the course, you know, do 10 minutes, just commit to 10 minutes a day. If 10 minutes is too much, I mean, not to keep harping on Peloton, but like they do have 5 minutes, you know, like start somewhere. You just got to start and commit to, you know, commit to doing 1 minute or 2 minutes. And then you just build from there. I mean, I find it very, very easy to hit a button and commit to 5 minutes. Like we can all do that for anything, right? We can all do anything for 5 minutes. So I would just say, keep trying. If one app or technique doesn't work for you, but you're still really interested, then, you know, try a different app or try a different instructor and like keep going, you know, sort of pivoting until you find the right fit. So, and then if you're really interested, I mean, there's so many resources on YouTube, masterclass. I mean, there's just so many experts out there that can really explain the science and the benefits and the philosophy and this, you know, spiritual aspect of it. So you can go down a rabbit hole if you want, but you don't need to. I mean, you could keep it at the Calm app and, you know, hit the daily meditation for 10 minutes and you're done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Gotcha. You heard it here first. Stay the course to all those who are struggling a little bit with their meditation right now. And then, so for the final leg of your 5 a.m. routine here, the 20 minutes of learning. Yeah. And so you mentioned, you know, you want, it's either you listen to podcasts, you take classes, do executive coaching. It's all about a new challenging content for a growth-oriented mindset, as you've shared with me. Yeah. I'd love to hear more about this leg of the routine for you.
Okay. Well, it all starts with a philosophy that for me, I want to be and am a naturally intellectually curious person. I like to ask questions. I like to understand what drives people, you know, how things work, where they started, how did people do certain things? How did they get interested? How did they learn? And so that's really at the, you know, I would say at the foundational aspect, it's about really just being a curious person and wanting to constantly learn and really just grow a little bit, right? The more that we learn about other people and other subject matters, I mean, it keeps life very, very rich and very full. And so for me, that is the starting point. It is around a growth mindset. I would say as a former athlete, you know, I have it ingrained in myself that I'm constantly sort of marking to market under, you know, evaluating where I am, where I want to go, and, you know, what are the different ways that I can get there? And for me, understanding and learning and studying, I guess, to some degree, is the path that I have found to be quite fulfilling, but also it's been successful for me. How do I do it? I mean, it's really, I look at a lot of different subjects that I have interest in, and I wouldn't say I have syllabus that I'm following per se, but I have certain subject matters that I'm interested in. And so business is obviously one of them, leadership, performance, spiritualness, mental health, performance, culture, all those things are things that I am quite interested in. And so what I will find is sometimes I'll be listening to a podcast and it'll introduce me to an author. And then I will want to read that author's book. And then, you know, like you kind of takes you on a journey and introduces you to really, really thoughtful people. And that is what is so amazing about, you know, the internet and podcasts and, you know, and this world that we live in. I mean, there is no subject that is, you know, that you can't learn about. It's pretty awesome. So I am big on podcasts. I have a bunch if you want me to share a few that I
think. Please
do. Okay. So, I mean, one of my favorites is the Knowledge Project, which is all about mental models and decision-making. So sort of science around that and different people who've who bring really different perspectives on that. Another one I really like is Scott Galloway's The Prof G Show, which is, again, a little bit business. He's really dynamic. He's got great presentation skills and always super relevant around investing, particularly in the technology space. I really like The School of Greatness. He has some great authors and speakers. Adam Grant's Work Life, if you're interested in sort of organizational behavior, leadership, he's amazing. Obviously, Brené Brown, you know, has just done a tremendous amount of work around authenticity and vulnerability. I listen a lot to Mo Gadat's Slow Mo. He wrote a book around happiness. He's got an incredible personal life story. And has this huge goal of, you know, really working with people around the science of happiness. So he's got really interesting speakers. Another one I was just introduced to is actually Heather Reisman's podcast called Well Said. Mm-hmm. She is one of the more intellectually curious people I know, and she has great access to authors and sort of cutting edge thinkers. And so she's actually created her own podcast, and that has been, you know, it's right around 23 minutes in the morning. So that's a perfect time for me. So those are some of the podcasts I like to focus on. In terms of some of the books or book sites, Get Abstract are really great summaries of a lot of business books, leadership books. So often I'll either print out the abstract and read that. And sometimes I like to do that to see if I do want to read a book. You can get the summary first and assess whether it's a good fit. Blinkist is another one that I use a lot, particularly when I'm traveling. And then, of course, as I mentioned earlier, I'm kind of digging these masterclasses as well. Like, that's a really fun way to learn about a subject matter that you're not necessarily good at. I just, for what it's worth, I'm a horrible chef. My husband is the chef in our relationship, but I love watching these amazing chefs, like, they're artists. And so that's been really fun. Like, that is definitely not something that I will probably ever try to implement. But it's tremendous to learn from a world-class chef and, you know, and just see how passionate and how amazing they are and how they approach it. So those are some ideas.
That's awesome. I love that. Some incredible resources there that I definitely plan on checking out myself. Specifically, I'm actually a big fan of Adam Grant's Work Life. Oh, so
I love him. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll double down on the recommendation.
He's a good one.
Laura, before we end off, any parting words for, you know, people who are considering starting a morning practice, a little bit shy at this point, but, you know, really want to dive into it. Any thoughts on that front?
I mean, just, you know, in the words of Phil Knight, just do it. Like, honestly, you just got to start. It's so, once you start and, you know, then you make it a goal. Like, I'm going to do this for 5 days, and then you do it for 5 and you're like, oh, I feel pretty good. I'm going to do it for 10. And you just, like, keep going, and lo and behold, it becomes a real habit. There's a lot of science. I'm sure you've probably talked about this before, Noah, on your podcast with people, but, like, you know, the science around making good habits and really, in order to be consistent with any practice, you kind of want to turn it into an unconscious habit. So I would say for me, that's what the morning routine, you know, is now. It's an unconscious, like, it actually doesn't feel like I'm starting my day if I don't do it. Like, I don't feel right. Whereas, you know, and I think if you had asked me that, you know, last year, I would have been like, what? No way. You know, I can't imagine getting up every morning at 5 and doing the same thing every day. But it works for me, and I really like it. And so I would just say, if you're intrigued at all, give it a shot. you know, set yourself up with a little goal, milestone. And if you can make 5 days, then you can make 10, then you can make 20, then you can make 40. And lo and behold, it's an unconscious habit. And I think it will serve you very well.
Awesome. To all those listening, Laura and I are sending you some homework. Set a goal for yourself for morning routine and try it out. Doesn't have to be too long. Laura, thanks so much for your time today. This was fantastic. I really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Noah. Thank you for having me.